The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, now, where did the weekend go? Furthermore, where did January go? This is the last full week. I told you it's going to go faster than and you can believe. This is going to be a crazy fast year. I don't miss 2017. I don't think most of you do either. October 1st, 2017, not a good day. The Las Vegas massacre. There have been a number of things developing in the last few days, so I thought this first hour I would invite Gary Holland back, and we should bring everybody up to date on how I see things and how Gary sees things. You don't have to see it that way. We just submit it. But it's very interesting. The Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department and its handler have issued a formal report, which is clearly so full of holes it looks like a sieve. It's just bad, which raises suspicions in and of itself. And now we have John Lear, the lifelong or nearly lifelong CIA trooper, stepping forward to shred and attack the Las Vegas Metro Police report on the massacre. If you look under Gary Holland's name, you'll find, first of all, the link to the photo analysis I did of the staged suite with Paddock's, or is it Paddock, his corpse laid out. And we're still trying to find well over 1,000 rounds of spent shell casings in the room. They're not there. And if you look at it, read the narration. It's been up there for a long time. These photos were leaked by whom, we don't know, somebody within the police department, and you know damn well they were released intentionally, or that particular officer would have been fired, or worse, long, long time ago. Now, when John Lear posted on Facebook his analysis of this crappy report, it didn't really come as a surprise to me. The report is wide open, full of errors and omissions, especially omissions, that a normal high-quality police or law enforcement or FBI report would have. And Metro, of course, as you know, is being directed by FBI and Mr. Rouse. This is a very unpleasant and rather seedy situation. This whole thing is bad. The worst thing about John Lear is that reading his comments, right away, we're taken back to the nobody died, no real shots were fired, crisis actors were used, and it was all a lie. I don't want to go there again. We've been there. We have so many things that Mr. Lear doesn't mention, which completely contradict any thought of that kind of a hustle or a hoax having been perpetrated on us. Completely. Now, interestingly enough, John does say some things that I wholeheartedly agree with. Not only do I agree with, but I've been saying them since probably a couple of days after the shooting event. One of which, he says, Stephen Paddock was framed by the FBI, CIA, and the Las Vegas Metro Police Department. That's a given. Paddock was a patsy. My first night's headline is still valid today. It says, Paddock, patsy, and other things. He also says he, Paddock, did not shoot anybody and was murdered to keep a secret. Yes, we said the same thing here. It's old, old news, nothing new. So I salute John for at least bringing that much forward. Now I'm going to read a couple of short paragraphs from his comment that was posted allegedly on Facebook last night after I bring Gary Holland back on the program. Hello, Gary. Thanks very much for being here. They're making us chase our tails, or they're trying.
Yeah, how's it going this evening, Jeff? Yeah, that's what they're doing. And with John Lear, with his take on it, is more disinformation and misdirection again. And, you know, we'll get into that. But as an overview of what I think, and that's really what I... Because if he was so into this investigation, we haven't heard from John Lear all the way up until after this official report came out. He never speculated. I mean, he has, you know, free rein to go on the other overnight show. You know, he's
anytime. He could have been spewing from the beginning, but he said nothing. You're right.
And he's big buddies with George Knapp, too. So, I mean, personal friends with him. So, I mean, George Knapp would have had him on any time if he had other alternative views. But he had
right.
No alternative views until actually this report came out.
The timing is strange.
Exactly. And it's very suspicious the way he came out this, you know, with the narrative. And it's just the usual. But, you know, very not surprising. You know, at the same time.
No, and what they've done here is very clever. First of all, they put out a formal report that I think a high schooler could shoot holes through. You don't even need to shoot holes. There are holes all through it. It's silly. It's the lie of omission. There are all kinds of things omitted. This report was designed to be taken apart, and in steps John Lear, and he takes it apart correctly. But it looks like a double-sided effort to completely confuse people even more than they have been. So I think this is clever. I think it's sophisticated. And remember, with disinformation, you're going to get 80 to 90% that's factual and 10 to 20% that's crap. And that's good disinformation. That's the name of the game. Go ahead.
And here's a key thing people got to remember again. Investigation division in Metro who is investigating this is called the FIT team. And you can see right in that official report, the paperwork even from the FIT team, which is the force investigation team, which is FIT, meaning FIT, force investigation team, meaning police involved shooting. That's really what the FIT team was set up for. It's basically an internal affairs unit. Not one, and there's only six to the division, and all six detectives on that division have no homicide experience whatsoever. Zero.
None.
There was a retired former Metro homicide detective. She was on the force for over 25 years. Still just retired within the past couple of years. Has friends, basically everyone, she still knows everyone in homicide division. Not one person has been consulted in homicide division at all, she said, about this case. General questions on how to file some paperwork, you know, your basic, you know, general questions.
Right.
But not one insulting question. Homicide has been basically cut out of that investigation completely. It's six Lombardo loyalists that are career lifers in Metro who got that job for Fit. Fit's job is to do one thing: cover up any negligence by a police officer who's involved in a shooting. They're not there to solve anything, because this is one of the, I think one of the only departments in the country that have what they call a coroner's inquest. So if a police shoot somebody, okay, all they have to prove is that the coroner has to prove that it wasn't a homicide. How the coroner does it, I have no clue. If there's an officer involved shooting, they don't investigate, you know. They call what they call, it's called a coroner's inquest. And it was so many police officers involved shootings, and they were getting away with it, because all the coroner has to prove that he was shot. Yes, he was shot. Acknowledge he was shot. And then they ask the coroner, was it homicide? The coroner says no. End of investigation. That's the way they do that here. So there was such an outcry from the community with getting on Metro. They said, okay, well, a few years ago, they organized what they called the FIT team, which is the Force Investigation Team, which is, in other words, force shootings. The police were forced to shoot somebody. That's, I guess, apparently that's what they're using it for. That's the name. It's a very strange name, if you ask me.
It is.
If you're involved in police officer FIT team, you know, but whatever.
Right.
But they didn't for that. Now, I want. I still can need this answered. Where was the police involved shooting? That now Metro has said there was never, not one time was Paddock ever shot. He killed himself. That's, we're going with the official narrative of what they've been saying, and we all know it ain't true. But let's just say we're going to use what their narrative is. Where in any of that storyline of their narrative, even this is their own narrative, was there a police officer drew his gun and shot somebody? There wasn't. So why would you have the FIT team, basically a police-involved shooting team, involved in the from the beginning to the end on this investigation?
Right, basically
it
running
makes
it.
No sense.
Yeah, no, none.
They are running. Yeah, well, it's Lombardo running it. Right. And his six yes men saying, yes, sir, well, no, sir, and they're just doing what they're told. If they're even investigating it at all, it just might be just like paperwork collecting and staging. I don't know what they're involved with as far as the extent of this, whatever you want, the conspiracy is.
Right.
But it's the most damning thing I've ever seen, and how not one channel in this town, not one talk station, not one news radio station in this town, the newspaper, the RJ, the Sun, nobody has asked, why is not homicide division investigating this? It was a mass homicide. It was mass murder. And if supposedly using their narrative again, if there's supposedly a person of interest, supposedly that's what the FBI was saying, if there's and they've already seated a grand jury for this, again, they would have homicide. Why is not homicide doing this? And no one questioned it. No one's asked a question. People in the homicide division don't even, their minds are blown on this. They can't believe they're not involved in this investigation. Mm-hmm. Of course, they're not going to go out on until they retire and say something about it. If you're active on Metro Force, right, you're not going to go run around there because your career will be dead and over with.
Right, or worse.
Exactly.
Now, the fact of the matter is the report is just essentially it's an embarrassment, okay? It's bad. And Lear had no problem driving trucks through it in very, very obvious locations. Let me read now just a few short graphs. These are almost just sentences, but I want you to get the idea. This is where John Lear is coming from, okay? It's important. I have nothing against John. I just think he's doing a job here. He's been out of the picture. All of a sudden, he steps up. Coincidentally, as Gary pointed out, right after the Metro report is released, along with a bunch of new photographs of the crime scene, alleged, i.e. the suite that Paddock was in, which was tangentially part of the crime scene. The crime scene was enormous. The whole venue, helicopters overhead, you name it. It goes on and on. Many hotels were involved. This was a coordinated citywide event, as Gary said a long time ago. All right, here's what I'm going to read for you. I'm going to back up. John Lear writes, Stephen Paddock was framed by the FBIA and the LVMPD. Well, okay, I totally agree. He did not shoot anybody and was murdered to keep a secret. I agree. Now we have a problem. He writes, in the Las Vegas Metro Police Department report on pages 15 to 22 is a list of the FBIA fabricated deaths. Got 58 dead people here. He's calling them fabricated. Not a single listing includes where the bullet hole was, what direction it came from, the angle that it penetrated the body, or where the bullet exited. It says existed here, but I think he means exited. In other words, the entire list of dead, all 58, is a fabrication made by the FBIA and sworn to by the Clark County Office of the Coroner Medical Examiner. He continues, in other words, the FBIA couldn't get the Clark County Coroner to fabricate the death certificates himself, so they used the, quote, Clark County Office of the Coroner Medical Examiner, end quote, to sign off on the fabricated death certificates. And where is Clark County Coroner John Fuddenberg? Yes, that's his real name, Fuddenberg. Did he swear that he had signed all 58 certificates? Page 23 of the LVMPD report has a footnote, number 12. It states, source material consisted of information from local area hospitals. And then he puts in parenthetically, names not given of the hospitals. Notes taken by crime scene analysts who responded to the local hospitals, name of hospitals not provided. To document the injured, voluntary statements from actual victims. Actual victims are presumably different from fake victims. And also included was a separate listing of victims provided by the FBI. Why a separate listing, writes Lear? Because nobody might have seen an actual dead body, and the FBIA had the official list of, quote, dead crisis actors, end quote, to match the fake death certificate signed, not by John Fuddenberg, but by the, quote, Office of the Clark County Medical Examiner, end quote. Get it? On page 24, it states that between September of 2016 and September of 2017, Paddock purchased 84 firearms with firearms-related accessories. Now, are we supposed to believe that Paddock purchased 84 firearms and related accessories to shoot the music festival revelers? I don't. The FBIA undercover employee, Paddock, bought those firearms at the behest of his employer to sell or trade to ISIS in some kind of scam that went bad. Now, that perfectly parallels what I've been saying from the beginning, and Gary, that there were clearly Muslim shooters involved here. The Saudis were involved. We know this is a huge venue, none of which is mentioned in the Las Vegas Metro new report. Let me just back up now. Lear mentions and quotes the words crisis actors, fabricated death certificates. Now, where does that put us? It puts us right back to the beginning time frame when there were people on the internet saying the gunshots were only noise coming over the public address system. Nobody was hit. There was fake blood, crisis actors. You've heard it all before. So the Metro Police report, it stinks. John Lear comes out and does what anybody with a brain could do. He shreds it, all right? Makes it just a laughingstock out of it. So that leaves the public again scratching their heads and saying, crisis actors? Really? So there we are, Gary. Very clever stuff.
Yeah, exactly. See, he emphasizes, though, the fake certificates, the fake bodies, and he's just pushing that same narrative. See, like they push. Look, there's been all over the YouTube and the internet, there's been this whole crisis actors setup job this was, and then that narrative's been going. Then it died all of a sudden. Went dark. You didn't hear from nobody anymore. That just petered out and went away. Now all of a sudden, John Lear comes out of the woodwork. Like I said, again, where has he been since October? Nowhere to be found. And all of a sudden, John Lear, we're hearing from him after this report comes out, to push the narrative again so it can restart that fire again. And it's 20, here's the way it works. You know this yourself, Jeff, and everyone listen. This is not to insult anyone's intelligence or, I already know the people listening get it. It's preaching in a choir, but the fact of the matter is, within the first 30 days after the incident is when you're going to get all your information and as much truth as you ever will about whatever happened.
Hell, maybe even the first week, Gary.
Probably the first week. Yeah, the way information spreads so fast now, I would say maybe you're right within a week, but let's give it 30 days. But once it's like an echo wave. But as farther that echo wave travels out, now we're into the 6 month range already. What they're going to do is they always do this. They start sending and they hire these people and do it. They do this stuff and they start putting about a bunch of different crazy conspiracy theories out, things that didn't make no sense, like crazy things. And then John Lear comes out with this. And what it does to eventually the people is they don't know what the truth is anymore. It's because there's so many wacky conspiracy theories out there. It gets to the point where they're listening to you at the beginning because you're making sense and you're asking the right questions. By the end of it, though, they just say, well, it's just a bunch of tinfoil hat people trying to say there's a conspiracy when there isn't. See, and that's what they do is they poison the soup so bad,
right,
that you don't know which way it is anymore. And
right.
And now since he's opened this, you already know it's like a black hole. It's like the black hole and it's endless. And you're never going to get to the truth anymore or even close to it anymore. Whatever was spoken of at the beginning was the closest you're ever going to get to the story. Now it's gotten so out of whack that people just throw their hands up in the air and say, you know what? I don't know. There's nothing you can do about it. Probably Paddock had nothing to do with it, but I'm going to leave it at that. And then, I'm going to move on with my life. That's what people, I pretty much at this point, I bet
that's
you,
right.
I'd say if you were to question people, even people that are, kind of interested in trying to get to the truth, at this point, there's so many stories out there that people are just like, I give up now.
They wear people down, they wear them out,
yep.
And they walk. That's what they know. They know. They own the media. They know how to play the game. We're really putty in their hands. That's sad to say. And you look at...
It's not even just the media anymore. Think about it, Jeff. They own Twitter.
It's all the same.
Project Veritas just came out a couple weeks ago, talking about Twitter, people that work for Twitter, the actual programmers, saying they shadow ban people, that it makes it look like you're actually posting something and no one's even seeing you. I guarantee you they do the same thing on Facebook. They're doing the same thing with Google now, because Google, if you go to Google now and you put any search in about this shooting, all that comes up, page after page after search page, I'm talking 20, 30 pages deep into the Google search of what you just put in Paddock, not the shooter. And only stories you're going to get up is from mainstream media now. They completely blocked out any alternative news sites. You can forget about it because the Google scrubbed them all off. As a matter of fact, they put an algorithm in there. Now this what they deemed as reliable news to fake news. They're very Orwellian words, so you notice how they're using.
Right.
But what they've done now is just basically X out any alternative view other than what the Jewish media wants you to know is gone. So then you're going to have someone who... say they're interested in this, and they say, the report's goofy and this and that, so I'm going to look into it a little bit more. They go on Google. All they're going to give you, all they're going to be steered to is ABC News, Jew News 1, 2, 3 to whatever, because that's all you're going to get is the Jewish point of view and the Jewish news. You're not going to get nothing else.
It's all Zionist media, and we are fed a Zionist diet, and quite right. By the way, when you look at the Las Vegas Metro Police report, you'll see a number of photographs of the crime scene room, but I would urge all of you to look right into Gary's name. I put the photo analysis I worked on and did it very early and updated it a little bit, but there are your pictures. You'll see some other pictures in this, and I've got a comparison done of where the actual broken window is. There's a mallet on the floor, a little handheld mallet, and there's a big pile of glass on the inside of the broken window. That would be to the right of the suite as you look at the building from outside. Or if you're inside the suite, it would be on your left, where the primary shooting was supposedly carried out. Well, that mallet on the floor, and you'll see it there, did not break that window out, okay? And I'll have Gary tell you why. There's a pile of glass on the floor. It's rather bluish and diamond blue color, ice blue. It's a pile of small pieces, nicely laid out. It's like somebody took a box or a barrel and just small bucket and dumped it there. The whole damn room looks like a stage set. I've never seen anything more contrived ever. It just is. And when you look at the floor, look at my pictures and the new pictures and tell me what you see. You'll see a few cartridge casings laid out, maybe 30, 40, maybe 50. And what did Lombardo say? How many were shot? 1,100. Okay. Where are the other 1,000 cartridge casings? There are even some scattered around, allegedly, the head of Stephen Paddock. But if you look at them and look at the analysis I was able to do and pull up enlargements, you'll see that they were dropped into the blood pool afterward because there's blood on top of the casings. So not only do you have two separate pools of blood above Paddock's head, one dried and soaked into the rug, the other one brand new and fresh. But did he die twice? No, he probably didn't die the first time, and he started moaning, and they said, oh, hell, we got to take care of this, and they shot him again. I don't know. I'm speculating. But this is a bad, bad scene, and so we just want to urge all of you to go back to the data that I've got up there for you. I'm not responsible for it. I simply collated it and posted it. But it's important for you to look at because it tells a story so much bigger than the new Metro Police report, so much bigger than the remarks of John Lear. Lear doesn't talk about muzzle flash from helicopters, which we have video of. He doesn't talk about muzzle flash from the suite 7 floors above Paddock's. He doesn't talk about muzzle flash from the 4th or 5th layer of those weird architectural design parts of the Luxor. We have muzzle flash from there. He doesn't talk about the 3 shooters seen on the RV roof. He doesn't talk about the shell casings in the Tropicana parking lot. He doesn't talk about all these things that are so critical to painting the picture that this was a major, major operation and there was no lone gunman, period. Now, at least John Lear will give that much up. I think they've had to. I think we maybe all of us doing this, we forced them to back up. And they're now letting it out there in a quasi-official vein that, well, maybe after all, there wasn't a lone gunman. And that's what Lear is saying. Gary, go ahead.
Yeah, the story was, you know, they knew the story was, they were losing grip on the story from the very beginning because people were saying that didn't make any sense and the room and everything, it made no sense. Even the official investigators and official narrative writers had to go on the net looking at alternative sites to readjust their story as more people were bringing up real issues and actual evidence, and they said, oh, we're going to switch this narrative. So they've switched the narrative a bunch of times, which is why all of a sudden they said, we're not going to have no more interviews, no more press conferences a few months ago.
That was incredible. In and of itself, that was incredible.
Story straight.
Yeah.
Sure. And about that silly little... that little sledge, that small sledge that you see there, you know, that's what you use on cars. And by the way, when you have rusty drums on the back of a brake, you use that to hammer the crap out of the drum to actually what they call breaking the drum, the rust mold that goes from the back and plate to a drum. And that thing takes forever to bust it. And the other thing is I have a friend, it's an acquaintance that I know, and he's an engineer at one of the casinos here in town, and a very big casino. And I was just talking one time, and I didn't mention anything about this. I was just trying to, you know, pump for information. I said, what if someone gets drunk and they want to, you know, jump, if they're, you know, suicidal? I said, you know, you guys, you know, wouldn't you be afraid they could bust the window and just jump through and, you know, jump? And he said, impossible. I said, well, what do you mean? He said, because the fact is every casino here in town, he said, have what they call stormproof windows. They're safety glass. Okay? And I said, what do you mean? He said, just like a windshield in a car. He said, if you hit it or you try to bust it, it's not gonna break. You're gonna have like just like it would be if you see like you see in it'll be localized. Like if you took the hammer and hit it, you might put a little teeny hole in there, but it's like safety glass on a windshield. It's impossible. And a bullet would do the same thing, by the way. If you shoot a bullet through it, you're just going to, you can shoot a bunch of holes, but it's going to hold together. Just like if you see a car, I've seen a lot of cars that had bullets. Bullets go through the back window, or rounds go through the front windows,
uh-huh.
and they don't smash out. They just leave a hole in it, because that's what safety glass is designed to do.
Right.
Designed not to shatter. Okay, what I've seen if that was part of the glass that was. Which I don't believe. I think that was preloaded in there. But the glass itself was blasted out. It had to have been blasted. The only thing way to get to do that safety glass is some type of small charge, like a C4, some type of plastics that you would load on in the window and actually just blast them right out. Or they did what, you know, did like the they showed in that one YouTube video where the guys removed it within less than 5 minutes, removed the whole pane and window and just pushed it and let it fly down to the ground. But I don't think they did that.
Hey, you can take them out in 60 seconds if you know what you're doing.
Exactly.
That's the professionals that I've seen.
But if you remember the YouTube video, they said it sounded like some type of shot, but it was loud. It was a loud pop. And then the girl said, hey, you can see glass falling to the ground.
Yeah.
And you remember that part of that video. So that right there was the blast. They blasted the windows out. They had to make it look like, and if you remember right even, and there was, by the way, if you've seen, it was like they showed one of the windows, wasn't even completely taken out even there. It was like you could tell it was blasted out. But the safety glass still held up on the very top of part of that window even, that was blasted out even.
Uh-huh.
So, yep, and so, you know, they should have. I can't believe they're, you know, here's the thing. Like we were talking the other time, Jeff, 99% of these people in this country, the population in this country, doesn't know one way or the other, doesn't even think about anything. So they don't need, they're not trying to convince the 1% that actually knows the real, what you could, we formed opinions, through opinion, we said this is what we think could have happened, and the evidence is pointing in the way we're thinking. But 99% of people don't even look at it that way. They just take whatever the word is on the news, they take it as face value. They're so conditioned over the years of these action movies where, you know, these ridiculous, you know, I mean, I like watching action movies. I'll be the first to admit it. But I know it's not reality when I'm watching it. But people don't think that way. They see something in a movie and they said, you know, it's just the same way, you know, and they said, well, of course you shot all them people up. They do it in the movies. And really, that's what they just needed, to set that scene up in that room of his for the movie going audience. That's all they needed. Because they don't care about the 1% like us. They'll leave us chatter all day long. They don't care. Because then, like I said, then they'll just put out a bunch of fake stories to crowd out any noise
right.
That's actually the truth.
Right.
And
now
that's
here,
what they're doing.
Yeah. Let me. I'm going to play this. This is a video that the police report doesn't mention. Nobody talks about it. It's after all the full automatic fire has stopped. There are two single, what sound like, gunshots, 30 seconds apart. We believe those are the two gunshots or perhaps small-shaped charges that blew out the windows. We believe that the windows were blown out after the automatic weapons were finished doing their thing. Now, you're going to hear a gunshot. I'll just play one of them. And then there's a girl. Now, these people are sitting on the ground, kind of looking around a corner at the Mandalay Bay. There's a guy talking and a girl with him. And after this gunshot, she actually has the courage. She sticks her head around this object to look at the Mandalay. And then you'll hear what she says. After the gunshot, she looks and she says, and there's glass falling from the Mandalay Bay. That is the paddock window being shot out or blown out. And then there's another gunshot or shaped explosive, small one, blowing the second window out. You see how they set this up? They had to have windows blown out, but they didn't get to it. Maybe it was a failure to coordinate on the timeline. They didn't blow them out until after the shooting had stopped. So here we go. Now listen up. You'll hear the young woman, whoever she is, say, and there's glass falling from the Mandalay Bay. It's very clear, and this really turns the whole case around.
We saw police right behind us with rifles, and they asked us to like take cover. And so we ran.
It was glass falling from Mandalay Bay.
Okay, did you get it? Okay, and there's glass falling from the Mandalay Bay after the shooting had stopped. Now, this again is they're on the end of the building where the Paddock Suite is, up on the 32nd floor, or wherever it was, 32nd, yeah, it's 32nd. And see, I'll play it one more time here. This sounds to me very much like a gunshot of some kind. Not a pistol, a rifle shot.
Until we saw police right behind us with rifles, and they asked us to like take cover.
Listen.
And so we ran.
There's glass falling from Mandalay Bay.
Okay, there you go. It couldn't be more clear.
And so we ran.
There's glass falling from Mandalay Bay.
All right. So what glass is falling from the Mandalay Bay? All right, this is after all the shooting has concluded, the massive bursts of automatic weapons. So there are two shots, there are two broken windows. You figure it out. Go ahead, Gary.
Yeah, and that's where the scene was being set up. They blasted the windows out and finished up whatever they did. You know, if you notice, too, the report said the cops took a long time to get up to that room.
Which is 45 minutes or more.
Yep. What you have to assume then is that somebody put the hold on, they put a hold on an order, whoever the SWAT, whoever was the encroachment team. Usually it's if it's a live active shooting, they have SWAT, appropriately show up to that.
Right. Right.
Wherever the shooting's coming from. But it looks like someone had the order. They were being held off. They had an order to stand down order. And then after everything was cleared that they needed to do in that room, then they were given the order to go upstairs way after the fact that it was cleared out, which more than likely, again, had to do with, if you remember that Australian resident that was staying next door to Paddock said,
yeah, I wish we could get a hold of him.
Running by.
Yeah.
I doubt you will get a hold of him, and you'll be lucky if he's
still alive.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, he's seen a group running down the hallway, returning fire to somebody. Who they're returning fire, it's hard to say. Might even been Metro themselves, and then they were pulled aside. Whoever that first responder team showed up for Metro on that floor was returning fire, whoever. And then we're told that, you know, afterwards to say you weren't here until 11 o'clock. Either way, in the report, it's saying that they didn't show up until later on. So either they had a stand down order or were told to switch their story after the fact.
So let me go back to this real quick. Two shots or small charges, glass falling, two broken windows in the Paddock Suite at about 10:15, 10:16, after all the automatic weapons fire had stopped. All right? Can you figure it out? The lie, the con, the hustle, it's all lies. And so none of this is mentioned, of course. We don't see videos mentioned or referenced in the police report that show helicopters with muzzle flash flying around behind the Mandalay and the Delano. Nothing is mentioned. Nothing is mentioned of any significance that takes anything away from the stupid, inane, ridiculous lone gunman crap. It's going nowhere. Nowhere. Now, the other thing is, Shepard Arbeloz did some very good work. He has been on this very heavily. And one of his stories suggests that the body in the room isn't actually Paddock's. Now, some of you might say, well, it's gone a little bit far, and maybe it is. But maybe it's not Paddock. Paddock was 6'4". That corpse doesn't look 6'4" to me. Plus, there are differences in the ears, the way they attach to the cadaver's cheeks, where the ears attach to the jaw, the cheek back there. paddocks didn't have earlobes, as it were. They just were a smooth attachment. The person on the floor appears to have earlobes at the bottom, curves, something curly, so to speak, at the bottom of the ear. So that's a strange one. The idea that there are somehow shell casings scattered around above his head, where his head is laying in the room, is as far away from the two windows that were broken out as you can get. So what are those shell casings supposedly there from? What rifle made them? Why was he shooting in the middle of his suite when he couldn't shoot out either window? They weren't broken in the first place, but he couldn't reach them. He couldn't shoot out of them. It's all so bad. And I'm so sad to see this resurrection of this crisis actor crap again. So you watch, that's going to be picked up and then people are going to run with it again. Oh my, sad.
Well, remember Jeff, the Jewish lady who, I forgot the name of that crisis response team that MGM hired, who was putting out fake PR, the PR firm that was putting out fake stories out on the web. I can't remember the exact name of that company, but remember, it was the whole board was all Zionist. They were
I
forgot the name of that.
They disappeared.
Of that company.
Yeah, they're
yep,
not
they disappeared.
Around.
But you wonder also if they were part of crafting this story, you know, in the past couple of months, you know, getting all the stories straight, you know, crossing the T's, dotting the I's, and doing that type of stuff. Because this right here, first of all, you look at the crime scene, the new photos that came out, and I don't know if you had posted them or not. If the new photos, they show the bullet, the actual round that went through the pattern.
All right, now let me ask. Hold on. Now let me ask people, what do you recall about Jesus Campos and the hallway? You remember at least 200 rounds were fired through the closed double doors to Paddock's suite. Well, what they did was, they removed, as you look at the double doors, the left door, the right door is still there because there were no holes in it, the left door, and then they cut the bottom of the left door off because that's where all the holes were, and there aren't 200 of them. I think there are like 20 or 30, I forget. But you can see the bullet holes through the door. They've actually taken the door, sawed it in half, and it's evidence to support their cockamamie story. But how do you get 200 rounds through a door and have the door still standing? I mean, that's a pretty amazing accomplishment. Maybe they're aluminum doors, I don't know. But there are pictures showing these bullet holes, and there are white tape markers by each hole or near each hole, identifying them, giving them numbers and all that. But there you go, Gary. It's
yeah, and a matter of fact, that door, by the way, if you look at the color of the other door, where the other half of that that look like a French door type situation, but that's actually it's making no sense. That's actually the upper quarter of the top of the door, because if you see on that picture, in the one picture I'm looking at,
oh, that's
at
not
here,
the bottom.
No,
that's the
top
of the door.
The top.
Right.
There's like one of them automatic closer.
Door closer. Sure. Yeah.
Door closer thing. It's attached to the top. So it would be the left. Okay, so we're looking at if you're looking at the doors in this picture, there'd be a left-hand side door where the cameras poke through, and then this would be the right side, the right door.
Got it.
The right door. Now this gray, not even the same color. It's a wooden door. Because you can see the wood pieces, one of them thin wooden doors. But what my question is, okay, I'm seeing, now they're saying there's actual even entry where the rounds went entered the edge of the door, okay, where it would basically be where the right door and the left door closed together would meet in the middle right there. So look at, there's some rounds right there at the very edge. Now I look at the other picture, though, where the other door is, and I closed in on that. I don't see anything. You don't see no rounds. You don't see no nothing in that picture, in the picture. Because it would have had to have been a few rounds. I mean, there's no way with a bump stock he had that tight control. Because anyone who knows anything about a bump stock, first of all, there is no control. When you shoot with a bump stock, it's like You're lucky if you can hit anything.
One of the biggest jokes of the whole thing, a tragedy, but still a joke in this tragedy, was this bump stock issue. Like, that's a terrible weapon, and it caused all of these deaths. And no, it's a joke. It's a gimmick.
Yep.
It's a stupid gimmick.
Now, there's also a picture showing it from the hallway in, okay, to that same door. This color of this door is gray. Now, they can say, well, maybe the gray side was on the outside part. Wrong, because I'm looking at the outside part. It's the same color from the inside. It's like a cream-colored white. This picture of this quarter door here is gray. So my question is at least they could have tried to match the colors. They didn't even try that. So this is like a gray door that supposedly he had such a tight group of rounds that went through.
Right, right.
But yeah, there's not 200. And I'm looking at the walls in these pictures even. No rounds going through any walls. You don't see anything like that. And like I said, they made it sound like he was like dodging, you know, all these rounds going through the doors and through the hall towards Campos.
I would say that grouping is maybe what, 12 inches in diameter, something like that?
Yeah.
That's it.
Oh yeah, you look at the grouping. It's like a bump stock, man. You there's no way you would do that. And then you can even count by your own self. You look at the picture here. Maybe if there's, I'd be lucky to say if there was 20 rounds that went through that door right there. The piece they're showing, that's only 20 rounds. What happened to the other 180?
Right, 200 rounds fired down the hallway, and Campos, the hero. It just goes on and on.
Now they show a picture of the hallway right here. And here's a picture of the hallway where supposedly all these rounds went in. And I'm looking at the walls, by the way.
Yeah.
And now there's a dinner cart there that someone had room service in one of their other rooms. None of the dishes are shattered on that dinner cart. Nothing. That's what I'm saying. There's not one round in the hallway at all. You can't. There's not in this picture I'm looking at, the new pictures, which is a view of from 100 the hallway towards room 32-135. I'm looking at the pictures of this hallway right here. I don't see, and I've blown up this picture and I've looked at it on every angle. I do not see evidence of any rounds at all that went into that hallway. You can't find any. If someone can point one out, I'll gladly, but I'm looking at, even you're looking at, you can see like stuff sticking off the wall that would have been incidental, fire, you know what I mean? It would have been stray bullet, a stray round would have hit somewhere. But you're looking at like these little light things they have outside each door, I guess.
Yeah.
They're fire lights. Not one of them are shattered. Not one of them are hit. None of the walls have any piercings. Nothing at all.
No.
The fire hydrant holder, everything you look at, the cart, nothing. There's not one evidence of even one round being.
You know,
in that
I want to go back and look at the other earlier pictures. By the way, the new pictures will be posted shortly. I just wanted to keep the people focused on what we were saying. I'll put them up in a few minutes. Gary, send me your copies back. Make sure I got them all.
Okay.
Somebody's messed with my mail here. But I'll put those up in a few minutes under Gary's name, and you'll be able to look at the new pictures. And look at the door, look at the coloring, and you'll say, well, it's flash. Flash camera did that. It might have done that. No, it's too big of a difference. It looks to me like the door was removed, and then somewhere else, perhaps, it's possible that the bullet holes were put in the door. We don't know. We don't know what we can believe anymore. We are in the digital age now. Everything you see can potentially be fiction. Everything you read can be a lie. Everything you see somebody tell you can also be a lie. We just have to go on our instincts now. You can't trust much of anything anymore. Everyone's got their own agenda. They're pushing their ego. They're pushing their, if they're working for Intel or they're working for somebody, they've got jobs to do. It's really tough to get hold of reality anymore. Go ahead. We got just about a minute, Gary.
Yeah, you're right. And like I said, this is where I was trying to explain before. Within the first 30 days of the incidents, we're going to get most of the truth. Now they've poisoned the soup. They've crowded it with junk and nonsense. And like you said, it's to the point where you try to figure out something, but now there's so many things that they've thrown out there.
Yeah,
you can't remember everything that was said. Like I was telling you the other
chaos.
Night, how they had it's all chaos. People enjoying their yachts, their newfound wealth. You know, the posh. Now they're staying, you know, on the posh vacations, the nice hotel rooms, that all that type of stuff. They get all that, and basically sold their soul or whatever they decided to do. And that's what it is. And now they put all these poisonous stories out. No one's gonna look. There's so much stuff out there now. I don't think you can remember half the things that were said anymore. You really can't. I mean, it's just so many things, so many different, so much disinformation that it's flooded now. It's just with the mainstream media, with their garbage, no one believes them. But now what they've done, they turn to social media, they own all that, and they've just flooded social media, internet, web, the web search engines, everything. They got it all cornered now. It's sickening. But they do. They got it cornered now where you literally almost cannot find, unless you go in the deep web, which is even, that's murky. But
yeah,
that's, I don't, the top web, you're not going to find nothing anymore. You're just not.
No.
Not at all.
No, it's very difficult now. Very difficult. That's why we're here for you. We do our best, and we're honest. We make mistakes, but we do our damnedest to bring it to you straight. Gary, thanks so much for everything.
Yeah. You have a good evening, Jeff.
Okay, you too. Thanks. Gary Holland, and that's our number one. We'll be right back with more for you after this.